Hi there, and welcome back to you, Jake, Angeli, Chansley, the American Shaman. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Thank you. It's kind of early for you, right?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah. So, we had actually an article about you, and it says that DN has followed your back for a couple of, hours. How was it? Did they contact you?
It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that I was disappointed with how the article was framed, and I gave them hours and hours of my time, created a lot of clarity, and much of what it is that I said in said interview and the recordings that they took, whether it be in my truck or in an interview that was like more formal, much of it didn't really make its way into the article, which I was rather disappointed about. And the stuff that did make its way into the article was in many ways half-truths or things that were spun to be wholly inaccurate. But there was the part about the Wallenbergs and the Erickson Corporation that I was very pleased made its way into the article. And I certainly hope that that article and that particular portion made its way to the Wallenbergs' desk.
I'm sure it did. But you must be pleased with the cover, at least.
Yeah, I really like the cover.
And this is, you know, Saturday. A lot of people only have the newspaper on the weekends. So they are sitting with their coffee and, I think a lot of people had time, actually, to really read this article. And we have done our best to spread it. But I'm sure you want to address some of the claims here. And also give your side of the story. I mean, we discussed in the earlier interview, in the previous one, about January 6th and how you went to prison and everything about that. And now you go into politics. And why don't you walk us through that? I mean, was it your goal in the beginning or did it just grow on you?
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't even know if I'm going to end up on the ballot. Getting signatures is very, very difficult. And it has been made difficult for grassroots movements and in particular third party candidates in particular. Most political candidates have, in one way or another, outsourced the gathering of signatures. They have basically paid other organizations to get the signatures for them, or in like some cases, bulk, even just pay outright for the signatures.
Yeah, maybe they bought these bulk signatures, but I don't think you can do that anymore.
No, well, like for example, I've heard of candidates paying $25 per signature. So, and if you need like 3,000 or 8,000 signatures, that's quite the hefty bill. But if you have really deep pockets, or if your donors have really deep pockets, then they don't mind paying that little bit of money just to get you on the ballot. So I never really look, I'm not a political activist. I'm a spiritual activist. I don't like politics. It's filled with vipers. It's a den of snakes. And I don't in any way, shape, or form have interest in rubbing shoulders with those kinds of people. I don't seek positions of power. The reason why I chose to run for office was not just because I was asked to by people here in District 8 and here in Arizona, but also because the modern political system is essentially a dark magic spell. It is an illusion. And in ceremonial magic, the inversion of sacred ceremonies is essentially the bread and butter of black magic or dark magic, death magic practices. So inverting sacred ceremonies, it is the strategy that is used by these people that practice this stuff. But if one were to say, for example, do the opposite in that, like, if they're inverting a sacred ceremony, if one does a sacred ceremony and does it right, then you can counter that black magic spell. So my idea was essentially to run a campaign that was the antithesis of everything that was wrong in American politics.
And you are also addressing the deep state and I mean, this corruption that is all over the place. And also, I think I can imagine it's really hard without the lobbyists and the Soros and the Wallenberg and, you know, the big money. But if you're just there to really do a good job representing the people, then it's kind of hard, right?
Yes. Yes, very much. I expect for that. Yes, it is difficult. But nothing that is worth doing is ever easy.
No.
However, it all depends on what you view as a win. So, for example, and I'm cutting out here on my end. Is it cutting out for you, or is it just steady stream?
No, I think it's a steady stream.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
All right. So, for example, when I say that it all depends on what you define as a win, when I chose to throw my hat in the ring, I was given a interview by Newsmax that was national here in the United States. And then I delineated what it is that my campaign platform was and what it is that I intended to do. I think it was like 16 days later. So I did the interview on the 13th of November. 16 days later, on the 29th of November, 2023, Representative Khanna out of California, along with people like Matt Gaetz, proposed what they called anti-corruption plan on the House floor that just so happened to be three out of the four things that I was running on in my campaign. So without even having to be on the ballot, without even having to be in DC, my campaign moved the ball down the field and actually got these ideas of stopping insider trading, stopping lobbying, and creating term limits for congressmen. It got that into the dialogue in D.C. That's huge.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's a win. And yeah, I've also learned a lot about how politics works in campaigning, how the money is moved around, how the money is raised, how basically endorsements can be purchased, how it is that signatures can be purchased, how it is that grassroots and third-party candidate movements are stifled, and how there is legal obstructions to these movements gaining any momentum, and how it is that the door is left wide open for large organizations with lots of money to put forward puppet candidates that they control.
I can hear myself. Let's see what happens here. I can hear myself double. I think it's okay now. Yeah, but we can see now that many of the politicians now, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, you have a lot of them coming into Congress now and working truly for the people and really are outspoken about all the corruption and how this system was rigged, right?
Well, the system has been rigged for a very long time. So that, you know, being the obvious case at this point, I think it's important that we note that what we're witnessing is actually the culmination of a corrupt system peaking and, in a sense, now becoming more visible for the American people. And what's also important to note is that the level of systemic corruption here in the United States is not just local to the U.S., that it is pervasive throughout the entirety of the globe. And that includes places like Sweden.
Yeah, most definitely. We are so digital, and, you know, that is makes it really easy to adjust, we can say so. And if we go back to the article, I mean, you said something really nice here about, and I think you should be really proud, Jake, because actually Dagens Nyheter is a really old, well-renowned newspaper, and that they use you, I mean, and your words in order to educate the Swedish people about surveillance and child pornography and what you said here. Maybe I think you can phrase it better than I can, but first they asked you about Q and if you will represent QAnon in Congress, and you said that Q is over and that the operation, I think you mean psychological, like PSYOP, was really successful. Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Well, I mean, they really tried to inject the whole Q thing into this article, I think, way more than they should have, because it doesn't play anywhere near as big of a role in my life as it does for some people. And I also think that they said things in here that, in my opinion, are just totally not true. For example, it says in 2017, another movement took off in the United States that incited Republican grassroots in Arizona. The digital sect QAnon chancely became one of its more visible followers. I didn't really start getting behind Q until 2020. And they say in October of 2017, the internet pseudonym Q had begun publishing clues on the platform 4chan about a pedophile ring that included liberal politicians, well-known actors, Jewish financiers, such as George Soros. The network captured and tortured infants to extract adrenochrome, a pigment they then drank to stop their aging. This was the conspiracy theory. Now, that's not the only thing that, if anything, Q never posted anything about that. But what I think is interesting about this article is that they say when I discovered Q in 2017, I was reborn and I branded myself as a shaman. It's like, dude, no. I told you in the truck, dude, when I was going door knocking, I told this guy that Q was like nothing I got into until 2020. I've been practicing shamanism for over 10 years. So it's things like that in this article where I'm looking at it and thinking like, what is this guy's agenda? Because it's like, well, bro, I told you what actually happened. And he also says in here, Chansley was then an unemployed actor. I'm not an actor. I never said I was an actor. And then says, but
unemployed actor.
What's that?
Yeah, unemployed actor. You know, they can twist things.
Yeah, it's like it's a hit piece. And then so, but after signals from Q, he began to expel himself in prairie wolf fur and bisons. It's coyote fur. I told you it was coyote fur. And bison horns to protest against the perverted power outside the courts and polling stations in Arizona. First of all, I never went to polling stations, never went to courts. I told the guys I went down to the Capitol here in Arizona and banged my drums, sang my song, and gave speeches outside of the Capitol buildings here in Arizona. That would be the Senate, that would be the House, and the governor's tower. has nothing to do with courts or with polling stations. So this is the kind of stuff where I'm just looking at the article and going, really, dude, really? You're gonna lie to your audience? You're supposed to be a prestigious newspaper and you're gonna give them disinformation?
Exactly. Yeah. But then, I mean, the good part is Chansley considers the disclosure of Ericsson's suspected bribery deal with IS as part of the clearing up. I mean, because Q was an operation that gave us clues and it's only information. I mean, you can't really follow Q. Yeah, you can read the post, but it's not more than that. But part of that was also this modern slave trade, right? And then it said, Ericsson is owned by Wallenberg and has forced to pay billion in legal settlements with the U.S. Department of Justice. It's a fact. The next step in the shaman's train of thought is more fantastic. Okay, through Ericsson, the Wallenberg owned telecommunications all over the world, he says. Well, he says it's a fact. 184 countries. How is it then that the digital child pornography is allowed to travel through their hardware? Do the Wallenberg know about it? I don't know. But could such a powerful family as the Wallenberg stop it with one single phone call? Undoubtedly, yes. And I mean, just for them to write that, I mean, you have to look at the pace also for the Swedish people, for the Swedish audience. I mean, it's Saturday, they are drinking their coffee, and they read this. I mean, you know, this is a revealing, and it comes from you. So this is really good.
Well, but what I find interesting about it, and this is why I'm somewhat upset with the author's portrayal, is that they insulate that very real assertion based in fact with all of this other stuff that makes me seem like a lunatic or makes me seem unhinged somehow. And so it's like this very real fact and these very real facts that I'm talking about regarding the Wallenbergs and Ericsson, they are in one way or another tainted by the person that they're claiming is delivering this information. Now, am I glad that that information made its way into the article? Absolutely. And I think I told you earlier that if it takes having a hit piece written about me in a Swedish newspaper or magazine to get the truth about the Wallenbergs and Ericsson and the transfer of child pornography through their hardware to the Swedish people and the people of the world, then okay, I'll take the hit piece. I'll take the hit. As long as that information gets in there, you know, all right.
Yeah, and then it said myth and reality slide together in Chansley's brain.
and that's what I'm saying about, like, it's a hit piece. And this guy, he promised that he wasn't going to do a hit piece, that he was going to remain objective. And I told him at the time, I said, well, we'll see what you do with this. And if you remain objective and you don't write a hit piece and it's just the facts of what it is that I've said, and you don't take me out of context, you don't distort what it is that I've said, then we can do another interview in the future. But if you write a hit piece and if you choose to manipulate what it is that I'm saying for political gain or whatever, then I promise you we will never do another interview. And I think that's fair, you know.
Yeah, my cat came down, so I just let him out. He felt that this was really, really interesting. Yeah, no, but I understand that you are upset, but I think, I mean, this is how the Swedish media works, and we are famous for how hard held we are by the media. They are really restricted here, and we are, you know, the core of the deep state here. I mean, if you look at the infrastructure of the deep state, with the paying infrastructure, telecom infrastructure, everything, internet, then you have the core here. So we have to be I mean, we have really, really thought that if we don't sell weapons, like Saab and so on, to Ukraine and wherever, someone else will do it, and that it somehow benefited the Swedish people. Well, it never did, because they don't pay taxes, and they are a private company, you know. And also Nasdaq. Nasdaq is not only one stock exchange. That is actually the platform for all the stock exchanges globally, 150 of them. So, I mean, with that leverage, you have to have a population, because a lot of it has been funneled through tax money. And to make that happen, we have to, you know, support this. So that is not an excuse. That is kind of an explanation.
But the thing is that when your government is basically taking your money at gunpoint, that's called robbery.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of here in the United States, if you don't pay your taxes, then the IRS will start garnishing your wages. You might even go to prison for tax evasion, all depending on the level and the volume of the amount of money they say that you owe them. So under threat of imprisonment, or in some cases now considering they're arming IRS agents.
Yeah, they are armed now.
Gunpoint.
Yeah.
What's that?
They are armed now. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, they
yes.
are armed
so,
now.
So I know, that's what I'm saying. So essentially under threat of either at gunpoint or fear of imprisonment, we have to give up our money. That's called robbery, you know, or holding somebody hostage. So then they're taking that money and they're putting it into the hands of less than 1% of the population. They're transferring our wealth to a echelon of people that they're not hurting for money, but the money that they're taking from people in the lower or middle income class, that actually is hurting those families. You know, these people don't care. They have no empathy or sympathy whatsoever. As far as they're concerned, it's par for the course.
And I saw what Trump posted about making coining money illegal. Did you see that?
No.
No, that was really interesting. And that was almost at the same time when you have the CPAC and the president from El Salvador, and he said that, you know, it's not your tax money, they are actually issuing American bonds, and the Fed are printing money out of thin air. So if the government can do that through the Federal Reserve, so the Treasury issued the bonds, and the Fed can just print the money, and then you have to repay, of course, forever, because they refinance it all the time. But if they do that, why don't they just print money for, like, an income for all the people in the U.S., right? If they can just print it, what's the problem?
Well, and if they can just print the money, why not print it, then send it to Ukraine? The thing is that printing money causes inflation.
Yep.
The whole reason why our currency has any value is because there's a limited amount of the currency in circulation. So when you print large amounts of that currency, then it devalues the currency, because then there's more of it in circulation.
It's so, dilution. Yeah, how do you say
dilute? So at the end of the day, the printing of a debt-based currency is the erosion of our economy and of the value of our currency in general. Also, things like what the Biden administration has chosen to do, using things like sanctions and stuff as essentially a weapon, as a monetary weapon abroad, was also a very large mistake as well, because now more and more people are moving away from using the dollar as the base currency for all economic all economic
global trade.
Exactly. So
yeah.
It's really, these are really bad chess moves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a really bad chess move to install the Federal Reserve in the first place, but mm-hmm. there was a strategy behind it. There was a reason why they chose to do what it is that they did. And it wasn't anything to do with, you know, somehow stabilizing the American economy. It was more so about giving less than 1% of the population the ability to destabilize the American economy strategically and then move people to the lower income classes and then separate them more and more so from the higher income classes.
Yeah. And also this president of El Salvador, he also said that, I mean, if they can just print money, why are you paying taxes?
Yes.
That's a valid question, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And also...
Oh, go ahead.
And also in Argentina now, he says that he will imprison all the banksters, you know, if they coin money, he will send them to jail. And I mean, because you can't just print money. I mean, you have to find someone that can repay the interest because they are only interested in the interest, right? But if you can't find heads that can repay that and that have a credit score, what should you do? I mean, you can't indebt more people in the US nor in Sweden. And the other countries like in Africa and so on, it doesn't work like that because they are not, I mean, individual households are not in debt in the same way. They are more in debt to the IMF on the country level, right? They lend and then they have to work it off as labor, but they are not in debt. I don't know the actual figure now, but in Russia, this was in 2009. Only 7% of households has a loan. 7%. I mean, I think by that time it was like 300% in the US. And yeah, same in Sweden.
Well, the central bank that is here in the United States is kind of like a template for central banks all over the world. And all these central banks all over the world do, in fact, link up with the IMF, with the World Bank, and the Bank of International Settlements. It is a racket. The whole system is designed to use our labor, our resources, and our currencies to enslave the populations and benefit less than 1% of the population. I was saying to Benny Johnson that it's like a computer virus that you can. So computers work because you have energy or electricity coming from an outlet into a circuit board. That circuit board is designed to move the electricity through the conductors on the circuit board to create a certain pattern, either one or zero, on or off. Electricity is running through it or it's not running through it, right? And that pattern, there's a pattern that comes through that movement of that electricity through the circuit board because it's happening over and over and over again, multiple times per second. And that pattern can be governed based on algorithms, based on software, right? Then the pattern that is created through that software, through that algorithm, ends up getting fed through wires into our screen here. And we see it as, you know, you and I talking over the internet on a screen. Mm-hmm. But if you were to enter a computer virus, which is like basically bad code or a bad algorithm into the system, then what could end up happening is all of that electricity that's supposed to go to the whole circuit board is now just going to one small portion of the circuit board, which means that your computer is going to lag. It's going to run really slowly. It might do things like turn off and then turn on and then turn off and then turn on cyclically, never allowing you to actually access the computer. So if we graft that notion of like a computer virus and the bad code onto what's happening in the world, then these central banks and the governments that are using them and the government laws that are being passed by this corrupted government apparatus, they're like basically putting a bad code into the system. They're running a bad algorithm, a computer virus that is taking all of our energy, all of our resources, all of our labor, and redirecting it to benefit less than 1% of the global population. And this is why our progress is slowed, because our global consciousness is lagging. Our global system is lagging because we are redirecting all of our energy, time, labor, resources to less than 1% of the population. And the Wallenbergs have quite the role to play in all that, especially considering what you were saying about like the NASDAQ and global trade, especially when we get into things like global telecommunications and how it is that that plays a role in our infrastructure and in the cyber realms. It all plays a role in one way or another in the global apparatus that is being used to control and enslave every man, woman, and child for generations to come.
Exactly. And if we look at Bank for International Settlements, actually, I mean, without telecom, you can't log into your bank. You can't access your digital confetti because it's only digital, you know, what you have in your bank account. So if you have no internet, if you don't have a telecom, if you don't have power, you can't access. So what is it worth, right?
Yes.
It's not tangible. You can't touch it like you can do with gold or silver. So actually, I mean, the system, you have to understand, I mean, the whole system works on telecom. It has power. It's an infrastructure. You know, it takes roots. And if you can control that, or if you can make that happen, or, you know, end it so no one can access. So you can say that, okay, the Rothschilds have 70 trillion, I don't know. But if they can't access their funds, what is it worth? I mean, so I think when Trump said that Ericsson is a matter of national security, that's what he meant. That, I mean, this is intertwined. This is one system. It's not only in theory. It has to work. You know, it has to operate. And that's really important, and that's why they took control, as you wrote in the piece here as well, that they had to pay the DOJ, but also that they had to leave the control for 3 years, and then they prolonged it now to mid-2024.
Right.
And so that is so important, because, I mean, if they are funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda. They also sold the coordinates to Al-Qaeda. And, you know, they are behind Soros, so they have funded all these NGOs and organizations and so on. So I think that was so vital for, the Space Force, because now they have control over all the telecommunications in from 2022, right? They took control of all the communications. So now I feel more secure that, okay, now at least the internet and telecom is in the hands of the American military.
Well, I hope so, but I don't know. I mean, the way I look at it is I try to think of it in terms of global warfare. If you co-opt or control your opposition's communication lines, then you have access to all the information necessary to win the war. I think a really good example would be what happened with British intelligence, MI6, and Alan Turing during World War II. Are you familiar with the Turing machine and the breaking of the Enigma code from the Nazis and all that?
Please go ahead.
When they cracked Enigma and they began to know what the Nazis were doing, where they were sending their resources, where they were sending their troops, how many troops, all of that stuff. That was the most valuable thing in the war. Wars are not just won because of tanks and guns and bullets and bombs, airplanes, battleships. That's only a part of the war. The real war is actually won by the procuring of information.
Yeah.
My cat is climbing up trying to climb up the window. That's what all that was about.
So is it high?
The idea here is that if these people are attempting to win a global war, mm-hmm. or at least control the battlefield, then controlling telecommunications on a global scale is essential. It is essential for them to control all of our communications.
Yeah. But it was kind of easy because since you had one party, one company in 184 countries, and that also was in control over the Bank for International Settlements, it was kind of easy. And also the same party, you know, Wallenberg, that controlled ABB. So the power, the telecom, and the paying infrastructure, it was all the same entity. So that's easier, right, than if you have like 100 companies having a small part in everything. So it was good. It was good in one sense. And it says in this criminal report from the DOJ, it actually says that, you know, that they had to they have to give up control for 3 years, and they have an
attorney. How about indefinitely? Yeah, like
exactly. You
know, why 3 years? Come on.
Yeah, but I think they have frozen their assets because there was one politician that was also at the Bilderberg meeting, and he was in Chile as well. You know, because the Swedes were investigate, you know, this children that got adopted, many of them allegedly were stolen. So when the journalist in Chile started writing about that, he had to go from the government directly and just, you know, I don't know, make them quiet and make it go away, but it didn't, right? And his wife is still there. And then he was at the foreign defense, foreign ministry, yeah, how do you say that, and for 6 months now he has been working with the Wallenberg, and I believe that he was sent out from the government, continuity of government, in order to deal with all these companies, because we have seen so many changes in the ownership, in the control, in the shares and so on since he got there. And actually, I believe he's back now. So I think they are done.
Interesting.
And that will be very interesting because the US, they have to control their own telecom infrastructure. You can't have one private entity, a Swedish one, controlling this in so many countries, 184 countries. That's not why.
Well, because then it gives them supremacy on a global scale. And if we're talking about less than 1% of the population controlling the other 99.9%, then who is that less than 1%? And what economic status do they hold? What power do they hold in the sense of, like, okay, control of resources, control of labor, or control of communications, etc.? Now, centralizing anything usually ends up in corruption. I'm not against government. I'm against corruption. And when we talk about the deep state, what we're essentially talking about is government is less than 1%ers having tyranny and ultimate control and masquerading as governments or that using the government's monopoly on force to reinforce corporate monopolies on resources, labor, or telecommunications.
Yeah.
So in our case here in the United States, we have in our communications with the Wallenbergs and Ericsson, we were basically allowing a foreign nation who was not beholden to the Constitution to control our cyber infrastructure.
Yeah.
That's an issue of national security.
Yeah.
Now, if our government is so corrupt that it is in league with these international entities of which Ericsson and the Wallenbergs are a part, if that's the case, then how would one take the country back and the infrastructure back? It would have to be a long, arduous legal process, that's for sure, because all of this stuff has been written up as contracts, and through things like contract law and through things like certain legislation that's been passed, it has all been made to be quote unquote legal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Policies. Yeah. Yeah, but I think we are lucky here because they have done so many crimes against humanity and also proven they have, you know, paid all the settlements. So we are lucky that the executive orders of Trump, so he could actually freeze their assets. So I believe that we are lucky. I believe that what happened, and they were also trading in the US dollar, of course. And with that, you also have jurisdiction over these entities. So this is, I think this will work smoothly. And it's really interesting what this guy, his economist at the SEB, is the Bank of the Wallenberg, and he said actually that, you know, global trade, about 90% of that was done in dollar. So that means only by that you have jurisdiction like all over the world and with all major companies.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. These less than 1%ers that own and control the banks, they also own and control most of the, if not all of the corporations around the world.
Yeah.
The biggest international corporations are also under the umbrella and the control of those that control the banks, because how are these corporations going to remain stable if they don't have any money, right?
No. They want to print money. And they can, if it comes to a company, they can just print the money as long as you promise to repay it. So you have something, a signature on a paper that they can print the money. So, and if they need money, they can just make up a new company. This is a company, and who are really, you know, controlling that they are not doing? I mean, how many of these social security numbers are real, and how many are like shadow profiles? Trolls.
Well, shadow governments and, shall we say, fraudulent corporations kind of go hand in hand. The shadow government ensures that they use these puppet corporations to do their bidding. One of the things I think a lot of people don't really understand is that these days countries are still being invaded, but they're not being invaded with standing armies. They're being invaded with corporations. So governments will find it very difficult to say, for example, build a deep underground military base, because these deep underground military bases require nuclear tunnel boring machines. They require things like massive amounts of concrete, wiring. They require electricians. They require like the air vents and ventilation. The list of things that is required for one of these things is astronomical. So it's much easier for the government to contract out that kind of labor and that kind of work to a corporation that does this stuff all the time. And in this sense, it's actually much easier for a corporation to procure tons and tons of concrete and wiring and the contractors to do the wiring, et cetera, the tunnel boring machines. it's much easier for the corporations to do these things on both a national and an international level. They are able to transfer, because they're in different countries, they're able to transfer resources from country A to country B, where these resources are necessary to build X, Y, and Z. So this is why corporations are an essential arm of this globalist deep state apparatus. And it's also the reason why we see the structure that we do, where we see like banks, corporations, government, people.
Yeah. And also when they invade a country, they get loan from IMF, they get the central bank if they don't have one, they get the in bed with the WHO, and they start vaccinating all the children, and they are in debt, and then they come and they steal their resources, and then they use like tax money and newly printed money in order to bribe themselves into these countries. And as long when all of this company has arrived, you know, you can't get rid of them that easily. And also we have like Chinese companies now, and they are building all these wind malls, you know, and they are not making any profit. So what, and they are not functioning as they should. And then they just go bankrupt. But who takes care of all the waste and everything? I mean, what the jurisdiction, I mean, they can just come and go, and then they have poisoned everything and just leave everything in a mess. And who should take care of that, of them, right?
Yeah, well, that's corruption at its worst, is that it's about procuring the resources and monopolizing the resources and the labor through debt-based currency. And the destruction of the ecosystem and the disease of the populations, that is collateral damage as far as these people are concerned. They don't care about the people of the country. They move in and say, oh, well, we're going to grant you this loan, and we're going to establish this central bank, and you're going to basically have a seat at the table when it comes to international issues. But basically what that means is you're going to get roped into the international debt apparatus. Yeah. And all your resources, all your labor, your populations, they're all going to be under this umbrella of control of less than 1% of the population. And they use the comforts of first world countries and the conveniences of first world nations as a lure, as a bait on a hook, that once the hook is in, like you said, it's very difficult for these countries to get out of that system.
No, it's nearly impossible. And so, but what is happening now, I see, because BRICS, they say that all the countries that apply for BRICS will automatically be able to join. And I mean, I think with the 40 countries, a while ago that have applied, now they say that it's like 159 countries that want to be in the payment infrastructure that they have, the platform. But with that 40 countries, it was about 80% of world GDP. And all of them are working together in order to ditch the dollar. So what we can leave the West, Sweden and the US, with all the debt, that is just a mountain of debt, and we can never ever repay that. So the only thing we are looking at is actually debt forgiveness, and that has already started.
Well, so, hold on a second though, because when we talk about this notion of debt is an illusion. Okay, yeah. It is these people in these less than 1%er circles saying, based on this corrupt system that we've created on paper, that these corrupt politicians or whoever, bankers or CEOs signed, you, the average individual, owe us this dollar amount.
Yeah.
Okay? So it is an illusion. It's black magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's entirely fabricated out of thin air, just like the value of our currency. Now, here's the thing that I think is really important to understand. if the assets, whether it be resources or labor or gold or whatever, if it is procured through illegal activity, which at this point, that's quite obvious that it has been, then that means that the executive arm of the government then has the ability to seize all assets that were gained through this illegal activity, which basically means that the debt is null and void. And all of the assets that these people, quote unquote, own actually becomes property of the people.
Exactly.
And essentially the government. But if these less than 1%ers own the government, they're never going to use the executive arm of the government to go after themselves.
No, I found this. This is like 2,300 something pages. And this is all. This is from March 11, 2024. Blocked persons list. And here you also have like Swedish companies and so on. So, I mean, this is, if we ask ourselves, where is the liquidity? A lot of the liquidity is here, right? They have been busy.
Well, that's the thing, is that what they've done is they've created a system on paper that gives mm-hmm. them full control through the legal system and with legal jargon that is basically like its own language. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, they are a bunch of self-referential criminals that are all saying, well, yeah, trust this person. Yeah, and trust that person. Yes, this system that we've created for you is good. And you have these politicians that go on TV and they create this illusion that there is no way out of it. And that there is no changing it, so we might as well just go along with it, which nothing could be further from the truth. The fact of the matter is, we have enough gold and silver and platinum and copper to make a whole new precious metal-backed currency. But that would be antithetical to this debt-based currency where these less than 1%ers have the control. If you have gold in your pocket that you're using to trade, then you actually have something of value in your hands. The people that have the real value in their hands right now are the people that own these banks.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And also, I mean, if I heard about one country in Africa, they had actually so much diamonds that they could back all the currencies in whole Africa. And imagine if these countries could, I mean, keep their own natural resources. I mean, the people would be so so rich. I mean, there is an overflow of everything. You know, we have so much, you know, but we have this 1% and they have stolen everything and made us believe that we lack things, but we don't lack anything.
Yes, so, it is an illusion of scarcity. And the illusion of scarcity is used to create enough fear to place people into a state of submission to this apparatus that is claiming that it must therefore control the resources to mitigate the damage from the illusion of scarcity. The real fact of abundance is it's the reality. That we are living in an abundant system. Now, what's interesting about this notion of the diamonds, though, is that diamonds are actually abundant all over the world. The only reason why they have any real value is because there is a certain group of individuals that have a monopoly on the diamond trade. They buy up the diamond mines. They ensure that only so many diamonds are in circulation, when in fact, diamonds are abundant. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So that right there should kind of give you a lens to look through regarding the illusion of scarcity and this global system and how it is based on illusions, how it is based on control, how it is based on ultimately, at the end of the day, fallacies and lies being used to monopolize resources, labor, and body autonomy as well, considering we're essentially living in slavery. Some worse than others, like the cobalt mines in Africa. You got children working in those things.
Yeah, they are small and so on. And actually, Peter Wallenberg, you know, he's dead now, but he was in an interview, he was talking about Africa and how they didn't understand anything and that they, you know, needed the white man to come and tell them because they didn't understand anything. And this is actually how they see all of us. I mean, we are just the flies to them. We are good as long as we repay. And what you said about trust, I mean, what we mean when we talk about the financial system and that is built on trust is that we trust that, you know, we will be repaid, or we will get salary, or we will pay the taxes, or we will pay the loan. So as long as everybody pays, that's okay. But if, let's say, you have so many companies that can't afford to pay and they can't repay their loans, and then you start to think like, oh, maybe he won't be able to repay this, then the trust is broken, right? So and this can go really, really fast. And what is happening now in the US is that the Federal Reserve, I don't know if I think you have seen this, but this bank term funding program, it will cease on 11 today, actually. And this is, I mean, they have lent so much money to all these banks, and they have to repay that. And how can they repay that? Of course, they can just print money. But in order to do that, if they follow the law, they have to find someone ahead that can sign a paper and promise to repay a loan. So they that's how they print money. So you have to have, like, if the Federal Reserve buy up bonds, then the Treasury will repay. So that's the signature, right? So many, some say that maybe 500 banks will go bankrupt due to this, because they, I mean, the loans is actually the liquidity. That is the money that you and I use. And if we don't have new loans, then, and we all repay the loans, let's say that, then we have no money, because all of our money are someone's debt. It's debt. Everything is debt. So how can a debt-based system be sustainable?
It's not.
And how will they, yeah, how will they be able to repay this? They won't.
They won't. Yeah, and that's the idea. It's a Ponzi scheme. Mm-hmm. It is designed to fail strategically, so that at the end of the, you know, cycle, what ends up happening is that as a means of paying the debt, the real things of value, resources, labor, livestock, food, water, that kind of falls under resources. Yeah. All of those things are then seized. Homes, right? Land.
Yeah.
All these things are seized, and they say, well, you owe us this much money, and you don't have the money to pay for it, but you do have this land, you do have that cow, you do have this water, you do have X, Y, and Z, and we are going to take it.
Yeah, but also when the banks now, when they can't repay, actually we have a, what is it called, you know, they want to take your, let's say the banks can sell their debt to another institute that will try to not the IRS, and they will try to take the money. So they are actually buying in bulk all this this debt.
Yeah, you're talking about like debt settlement and like debt settlement firms and stuff like that, where they basically buy the debt at a certain price and they say, well, we will pay this much amount of this debt, right? Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but in Sweden, they are nearly bankrupt. So the debtor will end up with the debtor, you know? So this is kind of hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it just shows the illusory nature to the system.
Yeah.
That it is all a illusion created by less than 1% of the population so they can acquire the things of real value.
Yeah. And also, you know what I found, what was really interesting? It was this homepage, OCC.gov. And if you search here for quantum financial system, you will find documents that prove that it has run parallel since actually June 2020. I thought it was later. I thought it was in August. And on page 3 here, it says that in preparation for the global currency reset and the arrival of the quantum financial system currently running parallel. So this is really interesting, because a quantum financial system will be fully transparent. You won't be able to, it has been transparent all the time, but not for us, right? Those who control the telecom infrastructure, they can see everything. And also with the crypto, we have seen that the US government have taken back, stolen crypto. So it was not that hidden, right? It was not hidden at all. But with this system, this will be fully transparent, and all the password, it won't function. And we have heard that, Wallenberg, they have had quantum computers for a long, long time, and also AI. So with that leverage, with supercomputers, AI, metadata, and the platform, NASDAQ and so on, stock exchanges, the telecom infrastructure, and what you said about that they could actually stop, human trafficking, everything, on the dark net, they could have stopped.
Yes. And that is why I think that it was so important for the Swedish people, but also for the Wallenbergs themselves, to know that essentially we're on to them. And it's like, look, dude, I want to believe that there's some sort of semblance of a soul left in that hollow husk of yours that you call a body. And if you really don't want to go to hell, I would recommend that you do something to stop all of this stuff that you are essentially tied to karmically, that you are essentially responsible for. You have now a very real opportunity. They have a very real opportunity with the power that they have to do something good for the world, to set the world free in one way or another, to stop the transfer of child pornography, to identify people that seek to do harm, whether they be terrorists or just lunatics in general. They have the ability to, just like the Rothschild family does, they have the ability to set the world free. They have the ability to green the deserts, to make food abundant, to clean up the waters and the land around the world, to clean everything up, and to turn this into Eden again. But they don't want to do that. Is that because they worship Satan and are weirdo Luciferian pedophiles? I really don't know. Their behavior indicates that that might be the case. Their priorities certainly indicate that that might be the case. But this is their opportunity. That's why I'm so glad that that was placed in the article, because it's like, look, bro, if you didn't know about it before, you know about it now. So do something about it. Or guess what? When the hammer comes down, and it will, where do you think you're going to be on Judgment Day? What kind of crimes will you be held accountable for when the shit hits the fan? And it's getting closer and closer to that time, day by day. This is the apocalypse.
Yeah, and also if we talk about the Bible, even the Bible knew that there was actually, I don't remember how many years, but if you were a slave, you had to be released, I think, after 7 years. Yeah, 7 years. So you couldn't be a slave your whole life. Also, they had debt forgiveness, and they knew that the system will be, you know, debt saturation, that point will be reached. So they have to put everything back to, even the Bible knew that. And we haven't done it for many, many, many years. So it's about time, because you can't just build up interest. It accumulates, and then now it's so, you know, we can never repay the debt nor the interest. I mean, the interest is, you know, skyrocketing now.
Totally. It's unachievable. It's insurmountable. Mm-hmm. The debt is, but that's what it's designed to be. But it's also important to remember, it is an illusion.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been made to be insurmountable, because it's designed to entrap our hearts and our minds in an illusory system based on fear. And if we're not afraid, if we're not dependent, then we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, but also we can buy food for that. And I think that the fear, especially in Sweden, maybe in the US, I don't know, but in Sweden, the fear, people are so afraid that we don't want to give to other people because we are afraid what will happen to us. We have been so indoctrinated that we could just end up on the street, that we are, you know, like a squirrel. We are putting everything, you know, like hoarding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
because
this is
of fear.
So this is my solution. We've talked a lot about the problems. Let's talk about the solutions really quick, because I don't believe in talking about problems so intensely without offering solutions.
Yeah.
The global socioeconomic and geopolitical system is one that is based on corruption and the centralization of resources, telecommunications, resources of like when it comes to energy as well as our monetary systems. And so the centralization of all of this stuff, whether it be through corporations or investment firms like BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, or central banking systems, the IMF, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, etc. All of that stuff is based on, first of all, the control of our mind. We don't really have access to the information about this stuff the way that they're pushing all this propaganda on the television, right? Mm-hmm. If they were actually talking about the stuff that really matters, then we would not be living in the world that we live in now.
Nope.
So if you look at all human history and evolutionary steps that have been taken throughout human history, whether they be systematic steps like social systems, or they become like we're talking about like biological evolution. When we talk about evolution of systems or biology, we see that always they occur under tremendous amounts of social and environmental pressure, right? And this social and environmental pressure creates windows of opportunity in space and time that usually self-selected individuals or groups of individuals walk through this window created by these social and environmental pressures. And they learn how to not just survive in the presence of these social and environmental pressures, these individuals learn how to thrive. And they do so by three different techniques or three different ways, or a combination of all three. Number one, the invention of a new tool that allows them to circumvent the social and environmental pressure. Number two, a new mental model that allows them to circumvent the social or environmental pressure. Or number three, a new form of behavior that allows them to circumvent the social and environmental pressure. Or in some cases, all three combined. Okay. Now, when that happens, the individuals in the group or in the tribe that are watching this individual or this group of individuals sees that they're thriving, and they go, well, I want to thrive too. This sucks. This social environmental pressure thing sucks. So then they implement the new tool, the new mental model, or the new form of behavior. As that takes place, the thought patterns change in the tribe and the dialogue changes in the tribe. Now, in our case, we are dealing with literally global levels of tyranny and therefore global levels of social and environmental pressure. The social pressure is obviously the corrupt governments, corporations, and banks. The environmental pressure is not just the pressure that all these institutions are placing on us and like talking about taking away our children, but also the pollution that these institutions are producing that is destroying environments and making food scarce, making water scarce, and destroying ecosystems for literally thousands of years to come.
Yeah.
So
they talk about climate, but it's not environmental.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with CO2. It has everything to do with what are called anthropogenic chemicals or forever chemicals that do something called bioaccumulation in the environment because they don't biodegrade for thousands, if not tens of thousands of years. And because these chemicals are like a molecular level, they actually destroy the microbiological life in the soil, in the water, in the air, and in our bodies, causing ecocide in ecosystems, the destruction of whole ecosystems, mass extinctions, and human disease. So that is the social and the environmental pressure that we're dealing with on a global scale. Now, what is the solution? The solution is to create a new system. We don't want to use our energy to fight the old. We want to use our energy to build something new that makes the old obsolete. A good example is, for example, the horse and buggy industry being put out of business by the automobile industry. The automobile industry did not seek to fight the horse and buggy industry. They just made better and better automobiles faster and faster, made them more affordable. And then lo and behold, they replaced the horses and buggies. Now, when it comes to our system that we're using, control of our energy supply, control of our resources, our labor, our food, our water, our land, all of this stuff can actually be circumvented by creating a new system. Infinite free clean wireless energy is at our fingertips when we decide to use Nikola Tesla's Tesla towers. Right? Happen. Force is infinite, then you make war obsolete. Okay? Also, these Tesla towers can be used to create a new communication grid. So the Wallenbergs and their hardware, the satellites, the cell phone towers, the televisions, your radio towers, all that stuff. What's that?
All these fiber cables, all these fiber cables in the ocean, that is also, I mean, it's old school. I mean, with the Tesla power, it's everything, you know. Yeah.
It's obsolete. It's archaic.
Yeah.
So the next thing is that these Tesla towers can also be used to do things like, for example, stimulate the growth of our crops and agriculture. So we can actually, without the need for pesticides or genetic modification, we can actually create massive amounts of food abundance through the use of frequencies that enable these plants to grow rapidly. And like I said, without the need for genetic modification. We can also use these Tesla towers in combination with certain bioremediating fungi and plants that consume the toxic chemicals in the soil or the water or the air. Convert them into organic material. And so we can actually reset our ecosystems as opposed to having them be destroyed for thousands of years. We can also do things like manipulate the weather without the need for chemtrails and stratospheric aerosol injections and HAARP technology. We can manipulate the weather in a way that steers hurricanes away from cities, that steers tornadoes away from cities, that does things like rains crops or brings us rain and greens the deserts, right? Yeah. All of this stuff would create abundance. And in the presence of abundance, war is obsolete. So all of that being said, there's also a new form of medicine that can be used, a new medical system. Dr. Rife, R-I-F-E, Royal Raymond Rife, was working with Nikola Tesla on the use of frequencies and vibration to kill disease and to boost human health. Okay. So there's that. And there's also all sorts of cures in nature that have been suppressed. Obviously, things like cannabis or psilocybin mushrooms are helpful when it comes to things like seizures or depression.
Yeah.
But then there's other things as well. You know, cannabis has been proven to kill cancer. And so have so many other natural natural cures or natural plants or whatever. Those things can be incorporated in the medical apparatus. Then there's also things like the zero-point energy engine, which Donald Trump declassified in 2020, and the TR-3B, which is a triangular shape, an anti-gravity or inertia propulsion craft. So we can actually use these craft to not just fly through the air, but also to go to the depths of the ocean and fly into outer space and go and say mine asteroid fields so that we don't ever have to mine a single mountain here on the planet and destroy a single ecosystem ever again. This can obviously stimulate our economy. We can do things like create colonies on the moon or on Mars or what have you, other star systems. It's all possible. So the TR-3B and zero-point energy engine gives us a whole new supply chain that's not only faster, it's less expensive, and it's safer. We're talking about going from LA to DC in the snap of a finger. We're talking about going from Hong Kong to Paris in the snap of a finger, right? So we can actually implement all of these things to in combination with a precious metal backed currency. Right? Now, because there's not going to be a large transfer of wealth due to the fact that we're transferring billions of dollars in oil or coal or what have you on a day-to-day basis, then something like a precious metal-backed currency actually is far more it's far more likely because the economy is much more stable. The foundation is much more stable because the energy that we're using is infinite in its supply. So now we have a new form of energy, a new energy grid that's not fragile like the one that we're using now that could be destroyed with a single coronal mass ejection or EMP. We're also, we have a new communication system. We have a new agricultural system. We have the ability to clean up all these messes that have been created. We have a new medical system. We have a new transportation system, a new supply chain. We have the abundance of food and water, and we also have a new currency. And the whole idea here is that what we want to do is run this system parallel to the old one. We want to use the old system like scaffolding on a building that we're building, right? So we use the old system to help create this new one that is in symbiosis with the environment, as opposed to the old system, which is in a parasitic relationship with the environment. We use this old system to create this new one. And then like the way a scaffolding is disassembled after a building is built, the scaffolding just falls away. It's just deconstructed. The old system then will be, I guess you could say, controlled in its deconstruction as this new system takes precedent and becomes supreme. And in this way, we are rendering the old system that is controlled by less than 1% of the population obsolete, and we're creating a new system that actually creates independence and wealth for the other 99.9%. It puts the power literally back in the hands of the people in the form of infinite free clean wireless energy, in the form of decentralized communication, in the form of stimulated agriculture, and in the form of having literal like precious metal currency in our hands to trade amongst one another.
Yeah. And then we will look back on this system and see that what was this system? Those who invented them must be corrupt. How could we have a system built on competition? we can't have a society, right, built on competition, because if you compete, the one party will die or get out of business. And I mean, we can't. So in order to make all this happen, we have to have a mindset that we are working together and that we want to have a society. We can't just compete. And but they have, you know, they have given us the illusion that we lack things, that is the world is not abundant, and that right. We have to fight for our right or just our survival. And that's just hilarious because there is so abundant.
Yes. Now, final point, because I have to go, unfortunately.
I know.
Final point, we are under a tremendous amount of social and environmental pressure. And we have the tools that I just explained, Tesla Tower Tech, Zero Point Energy, TR3B, Dr. Rife's machine, precious metal backed currency that makes digital currency and all this debt-based stuff obsolete. Those are our tools. The new mental model of reality is understanding how this corruption has been going on for a long time and understanding the metaphysical principles behind how this technology works, whether it be Tesla towers or zero point energy or what have you. Then the new form of behavior that we need to employ during this social and environmental pressure is nonviolent non-cooperation. It is essentially non-compliance with this evil system. If we don't pay taxes, they cannot get our resources, our labor. They can't transfer our wealth into the hands of less than 1% of the population. You see? So at the end of the day, we as humanity have to use all three of these methods to circumvent the social and environmental pressure and evolve. We do not want to revolt. We do not want a revolution, because then we're on the hamster wheel. We're on this revolution over and over and over again, this negative karma. What we want to do is evolve. We want to get off the hamster wheel. We want to create something new that renders the old system obsolete. Don't waste our energy fighting the old. Use our energy to build something new, and the old will simply fall away. With that said, I'm sorry to say I have to go. It's been great chatting, though.
Yeah, and you know, the audience loved it. You are on fire. And they love that, truly. And I mean, so Q was actually one part in this puzzle in order to make us evolve, to understand the system that we were in, and also our capacity, if we work together, you know, from a grassroots level, in order to build something new together.
Oh, absolutely. And now just really quick, I noticed a typo here on your, it's actually at America Shaman on Twitter. So you got to get rid of the N there, America, because if you go to American Shaman, it's going to take you to like a CBD company. So, it's all good. So, it's all good. I'm not tripping, but I'm sorry. Okay. I do have to go. I have to go get my oil changed. I have to feed the horses. I got to do some stuff, but thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, me too. And I can put all your handles down below so they can find you and follow you. And this will be, I mean, all the way into Congress, and we wish you luck. And I hope we will talk again really soon.
Thank you. So do I. You have a wonderful day, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Take care now. And thanks to the audience. Bye-bye, Jake.
Oh, and thanks, thank you to the audience. God bless you guys.
Yeah, God bless you.